Hello, welcome to It's Not My Fault, Through SG Podcast. It's Not Popular, episode 72. How's it going, Helen?
It is going. I am busy, but that seems to be my natural state of being these days, so it's going.
Okay. Supposedly had like a big snow this past week, and I'm like, it wasn't that bad.
We didn't have much snow. We only got 2 or 3 inches, so I figured we'd probably have like a delayed opening, but now they just closed everything down for the whole day, so I got an unexpected snow day and I did my taxes during it.
Yeah, I gotta do my taxes eventually too.
Had a minor heart attack doing my taxes, but it's all good. We're all settled now. Some of the new tax things just threw me for a loop. They were trying to claim that, like, that the school had given me money, which they didn't, so it's like, no,
ooh,
no, no, no.
Like, sorry, hold my phone.
But yeah, we're not here to talk about taxes, unless it's an anime about taxes.
Yeah, which will probably be coming in the next 5 years, who knows, right?
I mean, I was seeing screenshots of that Karl Marx anime today, and I kind of want to try it out just for being able to say, oh yeah, I've watched an anime about Karl Marx.
I'm sorry, what?
There's this Chinese anime about Karl Marx that's airing right now?
Really?
It was announced a few months back. I remember we talked about it then, but it's just streaming on, like, Chinese sites, I think, basically.
You could probably tell I've totally forgotten about that.
I mean, in our defense, a lot of news, especially weird news, comes out every month.
Yeah, and we got some weird stuff this time. Mm-hmm. But we should probably just talk about what we've been up to. And, well, for me, not much outside of, oh yeah, I've been writing a lot of reviews. You'll probably see them in the next couple months on theoshi.com. Also work. Work has been fantastic, I think. But I've been playing more Fire Emblem Heroes. I've been on and off with that to start, kind of to start 2019, like, I would kind of play it, and I would just, like, leave it alone for, like, a good week. But I've been just playing a lot this past week, just trying to complete missions and stuff like that. Like, actually using my flying units, using, like, leveling up characters. Revolutionary stuff.
Yeah, so when I was at KatsuCon last weekend, there were a couple other folks in the room who were big Fire Emblem fans. And I was saying, yeah, I have a really hard time playing the main games, and I'm just playing Heroes. And they're like, oh, which one are you starting with? And I was like, Path of Radiance. And Justin, they informed me that Path of Radiance is, like, one of the hardest games to start with. Why did you not tell me this? Why did you never mention this when I've talked about playing Path of Radiance before?
Okay, first of all, that can't be true. Radiant Dawn is the one you shouldn't start with, because that's a sequel.
You know, they were saying that this is a bad game for beginners because it's hard. Because I was complaining about desert levels, and they were like, which game? And I was like, Path of Radiance, and they were like, oh.
But look, I don't know what level you started playing Path of Radiance on, but they have an easy mode.
I am playing on the easy mode, Justin. They agreed, like, it is not an easy game.
Well, you can't be asking me, because, I mean, I've played every Fire Emblem game. The general Fire Emblem starter is supposedly, like, the original, or the GBA Fire Emblem. That's the starter one that you should start with.
Justin, I just went for the easiest ROM I could find online. Okay, I found the Path of Radiance one first.
Just you know, I don't know, get one of the regular systems or what?
That would imply I have money, Justin.
Isn't the Wii U, like, on sale?
Justin, I made $23,000 last year.
Is it on sale?
And I live on my own, basically. And I pay rent and insurance. And I was paying off a car and school.
I mean, I don't know if Path of Radiance... Well, I don't know if Path of Radiance is that, I don't know, difficult? I don't know. Again, you're asking the wrong person. I don't think it's difficult at all, so what can I say?
You seem to be in the minority on this anyway, so... But yeah,
well,
I was
well,
at
are you
KatsuCon,
wait, well, are
I
you
was at
KatsuCon
last weekend, so I had a fairly good time. Did play a little bit of Fire Emblem Heroes in the hotel room, because, you know, you gotta get your dailies. The Tempest Trials were going on. I needed the Titania. So I did that. And I've been reading the Cardcaptor Sakura Clear Card Arc manga, and I have mixed feelings on it. But I have mixed feelings on most Clamp things these days, so this is to be expected.
Okay, what happened?
Clamp made Tsubasa Reservoir Chronicles, and it demonstrated that they apparently have no ability to write anymore.
know what to write anymore? No what?
No ability to write anymore.
That sucks. That kind of sucks.
Yep, so just going through that, thinking about it.
What volume are you up to?
My library has the first four, so I've read through four. I think five came out recently here, but my library doesn't have it.
Okay. I've been reading library books a lot recently. That's true. Huh. Need to get back into reading more library books. It's really good. Oh, but how was Katsukan in general, by the way?
It was fine. My panel went fine. Four Boys by Girls, the Woman Who Makes Shonen Manga. That came off pretty well. And I went to some other good panels. I went to one of Charles Dunbar's panels. I think it was on, like, yokai mythology. I'm blanking right now. And I went to some other fan panels that were really good. Like, one that was on Yaku, Japanese baseball. So it was talking about the history of baseball in Japan and some of the fun stuff that the fans do at modern-day games. And I also went to a fan panel on Furisato, which is... it's a concept kind of like pastoralism or Americana. This idea of the idealized, quiet, rural hometown to go home to. Which I've definitely seen in anime before. Like, Only Yesterday, I think, is basically Furisato the anime. So it was a good panel. Kind of a quiet con for me, since I didn't do much in the way of cosplay, just because I have been busy since September, and I haven't had any time to sew. But wasn't a bad con. Weather was pretty good. It was warm one day and cold the next, but it wasn't, like, snowing or, like, anything bad like that.
Okay. Like, I just heard a couple of issues with the con, I think.
What issues did you hear?
Like on Twitter, like nothing, like, I didn't really look that into it, but, like, I follow a couple people that were talking about Katsukan.
Yes, what issues were they talking about, Justin?
Like, I think it involved mostly, like, cosplay stuff, though. That's the thing. Like, I guess if you were, like, cosplaying, that might have been an issue. I don't know.
I know that they were doing a lot of weapons checks this year, and I saw some mockery for it online, but I didn't have any personal experience with it, so I can't talk about that.
Right. That's just what I saw.
That you don't quite remember.
Don't quite remember, because it was like...
but you brought it up anyway.
I still brought it up anyways, because I was like... I know I heard some stuff, people talking about Katsukan, not quite good. Like,
that's any convention any year.
Yeah, fine. If you say so. Alright. I think it's time to... talk about all the news that happened in the past couple of weeks, and we got some news. Guess we're going to start with Production IG and Netflix. They're going to be collaborating on an experimental project to produce the first 4K anime this fall. So it's finally happening, Helen. Anime 4K. It's okay. Finally going to happen.
I mean, I'll give it a shot if it's any good, but I won't be able to experience its glorious 4K-ness since my computer screen is not 4K.
Me neither. I watched, like, a couple of, like, streamers, video game streamers, and they were like, oh, it's 4K. Like, I got to have it the highest quality possible, so we got to get it 4K. And I'm like, it's all well and good, but I don't have any 4K computer or TV, et cetera. So I will stick personally to 720p. Thank you very much. But I guess it was finally time for anime to get to it. It's just whether or not A, it can get to it, or in B, if they have enough people to do it.
Yeah, also talking about anime production news, anime studio Production Reed has changed its name back to Ashi Productions. They previously went by Ashi, and they changed their name in 2007 to Production Reed, but now they're going back to Ashi. So if people notice that the studio that made Cutie Honey Universe has a different name than they remember, that's why. Just little changes there.
Huh. I guess changes like to happen, but it's not... yeah, they usually don't happen that often, I guess, right?
I mean, 2007 was over a decade ago.
Yeah. And sticking to more studio talk, Thomas Romain, the French... making sure I get this right. This is a...
designer, and has worked in anime for a number of years.
Number of years. He launches a new Tokyo-based studio called Studio No Border. So the first project is he'll be working on the background settings of Carol and Tuesday, which is the Shinichiro Watanabe project. And I think that's good news, just more people working in studios. I think that in general is a good thing, right?
Yeah, I'm interested to see what he does with it. He did help make, or was one of the like main people on Oban Star Racers years ago, but I've never had a chance to see that. I know it was streaming legally in the U.S. at one point, but I didn't catch it then, so I'm interested to see where he takes things. And let's see, on this side of the Pacific, the Makuya, like, standard release has already come out. The nice Blu-ray release is coming out, I think, next month. But the DVD release is the rare dub-only release. If you were ordering it on Amazon or something, it was listed as having, you know, the Japanese track, the English subtitles, as well as the English dub track. But Shout Factory said, okay, so the licensor told us that the English subtitles had to be hard-coded on the Japanese track, so this DVD would have required two different video tracks, one with the hard-coded subs and one without them, and this was just going to be too much trouble for that, for them to put on a DVD, so the English release is dub-only, which is unusual, and it's not very nice to the fans who were ordering this and only got the English dub version.
Specifically, if it said, like, hey, we're going to get both versions, what's happening here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, why couldn't you have just said that earlier? Mysterious. And actually pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad business.
I would guess they probably forgot to send out an update when they realized they wouldn't be able to do this. But anyway, this is partially why I'm going to be ordering that deluxe Blu-ray edition next month.
Well, if the consensus goes that, hey, most people have Blu-ray players, we'll just get the Blu-rays, right?
I mean, a number of people still do have only DVD players and use all that. The anime fans, I feel like sometimes we're in a bit of a bubble, since, I mean, if you're watching anime these days, you need a certain amount of technological savviness to find it and watch it. Which sounds sad, but no, really. So, no, I mean, Blu-ray players are definitely fairly standard these days, but not everybody has them still. I mean, like, all adaptations take a long time. Like, okay, so you know how Avatar The Last Airbender came out, like, between, like, 2005 and 2008-ish or so?
I kind of want to forget those times, Helen. I just want to forget those years.
Well, DVDs were out at that era, right? And DVRs and TiVo and stuff like that. I remember there was one episode of Avatar I didn't see for years because we only had a VHS player and my mom forgot to pop in the tape to record an episode when I was out for the night.
Right.
So just reminding people that technological adaptation takes a while.
Now you're just making me think back to the time where I had to record Yu Yu Hakusho at like 5 a.m., except the fact that I didn't want to wake up that early, so I just set my VCR to just record from this time to this time.
Yeah, that's what you would do.
this is not great, Helen. We're revealing our age. We're revealing it all for people to listen to and know.
Justin, I think just about anyone who is old enough to be listening to these podcasts probably also lived through the era of VHS.
I'm going to get into some different sort of news, not anime related, but video game related, and that involves Reggie Fils Aminé. He is the retiring now CEO of Nintendo of America. He announced it this past week, and yeah, it's definitely one of the video game personalities and people that worked in the industry that you're going to remember, just based on the fact that when he came in, like, Nintendo wasn't doing quite that well, and he came in, so he got kick ass and all that stuff. And I would say he's going out on top a little bit, because he's going to retire April 15th. The Switch is selling like buckets. Like, it's literally like, it almost feels like everyone has it. So, I would say, like, the past, like, couple of Nintendo Directs, he wasn't on it, so it never really crossed my mind to think that, oh, maybe he might be retiring or anything like that, but it's like, oh, maybe I should have thought about that, because he would usually, like, be, like, a presence on those Nintendo Directs, but he wasn't. So, alright, Reggie, hope you enjoyed the retirement. Spend a good amount of time with your family. and Friends.
But Justin, you've buried the lead there. He's being replaced by someone named Doug Bowser.
Oh, that's because I got used to it. Like, I think they announced his name, Doug Bowser, like 4 years ago. So I feel like the jokes were already made then. Like, oh, they're making a Bowser work for Nintendo. Well, and now I guess he oversees Nintendo of America. So you can totally imagine all the jokes that happened this week.
Yeah, I was mentioning it to my roommate, and he said, you know, I almost wouldn't believe that it's actually somebody's name, except the mayor of D.C. is also named Mayor Muriel Bowser, so...
Look, we have... There are great last names out there. Sometimes they have... They're related to Nintendo characters. It just happens. It just does.
I feel like the mayor of D.C. needs to, like, leverage her name power to get, like, Nintendo events in D.C., but that's a different thing, so...
That is a very different... Very different thing.
Anyway, so... Oh, I'm excited and not excited about this. Funimation is going to be doing some Fruits Basket, the new Fruits Basket anime screenings before the show premieres in the spring. I'm not excited because both of these are nights when I have, like, classes and other commitments, so I'm not going to be able to see them in late March. I'm going to have to wait for the actual premieres in April.
Which sounds like nothing. This sounds like nothing new, though.
Yeah, I've had this problem in the past, but... It's also really cool. They've been talking more and more about the cast, you know, both the new Japanese cast and the English dub cast, and they're bringing back quite a few voices. The voices for Toru, Yuki, Kyo, Shigure, and Hatsuharu are all coming back. So they've got a couple of new voices, but this is really great since I remember that that was one of the first dubs I watched. I'm really attached to it, so I will most likely be paying for a Funimation subscription while the anime is coming out so I can watch the dub a couple of weeks after each episode comes out.
So yeah, you're gonna be. It's gonna be a little nostalgic, huh?
I guess. Oh, also, I do want to finish watching Spaceship Battleship Yamato 2202, which is only on Funimation now. So I need to sub for that at some point.
Sounds like yep. You should. It looks like it's gonna be really exciting. So, like every time I like go on Twitter and see like announcements of Fruits Basket, just way too many people I know are excited about it.
I mean, it was one of the best-selling manga in America for a reason, Justin.
Yeah. I don't know, just like, I see the, you and Crystalina's reviews of Fruits Basket and another, I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah, that one's definitely been kind of a disappointment, but I am ready to be emotionally destroyed by this more complete adaptation of the original. I'm ready. Okay, your turn.
I mean, I could talk about Laid Back Camp, but I think this is more in your line, because I like Laid Back Camp, but I feel like Laid Back Camp's more of your speed that you like more.
Justin, you just grab a different thing to talk about. Okay, anyway, okay, fine, I'll just keep going. Okay, so Laid Back Camp is still ongoing, which is good since they need the material for their second season, a movie, and short series, but it's actually switching from running in a magazine to an app instead. It's currently running in Manga Time Kirara, and it's going to move from Manga Time Kirara Forward Magazine to Honbusha's upcoming manga website and app, Comic Fuzz. Honbusha's the publisher, obviously. So that's interesting. Normally when we see anime moving from a magazine to an app, it's because the magazine died. So I'm a little curious why it's moving to the app on its own, but...
Is that popular?
I don't know, but cool, shouldn't affect the U.S. releases, so we good.
Well, and, you never know, though. You never know.
And there's a couple of other manga magazines which are launching digital versions for the first time. Lala, Hanatayume, and Young Animal, which are all published by Hakusensha, so most of their titles are ones published by Viz in the U.S., are all going to start being available digitally on Hakusensha's eNet and Manga Park websites and apps. And so, that's cool, especially since, you know, manga magazines in general have been a little slow to create simultaneous print and digital versions. I think there's still worries about piracy there, but cool. Anyway, so, I know that we read manga occasionally about, like, ridiculously young manga artists, but no, it's actually happened. There's a 13-year-old who's made her debut in the Besasatsu Margaret magazine, which is for shoujo manga. It's I think it's just a one shot. I don't think it's going to be an ongoing series, but it still reminded me a little bit of like Monthly Girls and Ozaki-kun, you know, that kind of thing where this incredibly young person is already making manga.
Just remind me of that kid from Bakuman who just said, yeah, I'm just going to draw manga all the time. That's it.
I actually did discover that the creator of Nozaki-kun also debuted at a pretty young age. It was funny, I was looking that up for my panel, and I was like, hang on, wait a second, this sounds familiar.
So maybe these young debuts aren't so odd after all, because you think, like, wait.
Nah, I think they're odd. I think I just come across a couple of them in short succession.
But for real, when I saw this in the script, I'm thinking, wait, are you sure we didn't talk about this already? And we did. it was basically 2 years ago. Another 13-year-old, different magazine. Also, apparently, more of an edgy one.
Ooh.
That was.
The Satsu Margaret is not edgy.
Like, I was looking like, wait, what the heck? What kind of shoujo is this? But yeah, it's a different 13-year-old, so it's not the same one. But yeah, 13-year-old making a debut this young, that's pretty cool. And the art looks really good, too, by the way.
Yeah, the preview pictures I saw online looked really pretty. And wrapping up our regular news segment, the manga Creatures Family Days Frankenstein Family is ending. That one caught my eye since I saw the anime for it recently. It's a series of, like, half-length episodes. I think it was a Chinese-Japanese co-pro, and they started releasing the manga in Japan, like, on the same day the anime started coming out. If you watch the version on Crunchyroll, they have like 15 minutes is the episode, and the other 15 minutes are interviews with some of the staff, mostly the voice actors, but there was an interesting one with the editor for the manga, and they were talking about, you know, translations and stuff like that, and I was thinking, oh, this sounds really familiar to the interviews I hear with professionals in the American manga industry talking about, you know, timing, intent, etc. But it looks like this series is wrapping up in just 2 volumes, which is a little short. I thought it might go on a bit longer, but oh well. The anime was pretty solid for anyone who didn't catch it. It got delayed a couple of times, so it came out sort of under the radar. But that was good. Doubt the manga will get licensed, but oh well, because we already have plenty of licensing things to talk about today.
Yes, plenty. Speaking of Viz, but we'll get to Viz later. First, we're going to talk about Dark Horse. Yep, let's talk about Dark Horse, because I'm so used to the fact that Dark Horse has been announcing stuff on Crunchyroll. So I saw, like, on Sunday, I think, that Miss Kozumi Loves Ramen Noodles was listed on Amazon. So I was like, all right, so I guess that means Crunchyroll's going to announce exclusively that Dark Horse has Miss Kozumi Loves Ramen Noodles Monday. No article. Oh, okay, maybe it's Tuesday. No article. Wednesday, still no article. So at that point, I was like, okay, emails Dark Horse. Dark Horse, what's happening here? What is... You do have a title that's already been leaked on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. What are you doing? So yeah.
Did they get back to you?
Dark Horse... Dark Horse eventually announced to ANN that they did license it. I think it was, what, Tuesday or something like that? Or Thursday, I mean. Was it a Thursday? Yeah, I think it was Thursday. Noted that it was their first food manga, and it's being translated by a Portland-based chef out there. So they're going to handle their first food manga with care, apparently.
As opposed to the rest of their manga, which they generally do not handle with care. Low-hanging fruit, yeah. Gotta make the joke.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? Seven Seas decided to... I think there was some sort of, like... They were nearing a celebration or something like that on social media. I forgot if it was their Facebook or whatever. Something like that. But they was like, oh, we're going to have a surprise announcement. So, like, really? Why would you do this? Why? And... They announced Uzaki-chan wants to hang out, which involves college kid meets next... Wait, is it next door neighbor? I think it's next door neighbor that is big and busty. I think that's what the theme of it is, right?
I don't know. That is the theme of like half of Seven Seas manga, though, so...
that is, and that's what I said. Like, at least, like, they, if they license something, it's definitely something that they were normally licensed,
though. It's hashtag on brand.
It is very much on brand. Boobs, Yuri, and maybe some really short volume stuff. I've been noticing been releasing a lot of short volume stuff over the past couple of years.
And then, like Justin alluded to earlier, Viz licensed a number of things in the past couple of weeks. The first thing that caught my eye is that their Sublime manga imprint licensed something of an interesting title, Yarachin Bitch Club.
Mm-hmm. No guns and dicks this time, though.
I guess? But I don't know, that name just made me giggle a lot. And they're also licensing Junji Ito's No Longer Human manga.
Whoa. So make sure it's not Sublime that's licensing it.
Viz is licensing the No Longer Human manga, in case, like Justin, you have trouble picking up on context clues. And it was around this time that Junji Ito was announced as the main guest for this year's Toronto Comic Arts Festival, which is in Toronto, Canada, obviously. So he's going to be appearing at that, and also Crunchyroll Expo later in the summer, which is pretty cool.
Which makes me think this is definitely not going to be the last convention he's going to this year. It has to be. He has to be going to more.
I actually didn't know he was alive. I thought the way everyone talked about him, I thought he was dead, so this was a bit of a surprise to me.
Whoa, Helen, what are you talking? Wow.
The way everyone talked about him, I thought he was already dead.
Wow. This is...
It was like, wait a minute.
I don't even know how to respond to this. This is... Like, what can I even say that's, like, even acceptable aside from the fact that how? How could you have not...
I don't read horror, really. I'm not that interested in it.
But Junji Ito's a name.
Sure. There are lots of names in this industry.
Although, I think you told me one time there was a... what's the Glass Mask author?
She's still alive. Because she's still making it.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know. I think
there was even a joke about that in this week's Reincarnated as a Slime.
There really was. That and with the bringing out Bell Dandy. And okay, we're losing the plot. I'm not letting that go, Helen. I'm not letting this go. I can't believe that you thought Junji Ito was dead. That's a...
You say this like this is the most shocking I've made in my time on this podcast.
This is pretty much, yeah. I can't believe you even admitted it.
It was funny.
But okay, back to the main point. Yeah, I really just hope this means Junji Ito's going to be at more conventions this year. Although, who knows, it could be like a taxi and traveling schedule, but if you can totally swing by to New York at any point in 2019, that'd be great.
Dude, fantastic. You're not even that far from Toronto. You can get up there easily.
Need a passport, though.
And money. You could get passports.
And money.
Passports are $120 and are good for 10 years. And you just money. Have to mail off your birth certificate, which is rather nerve-wracking.
Viz also announced some other stuff. They're going to bring all 21 volumes of Assassination Classroom together into a box set. So,
This is great news for me, who has been procrastinating on buying all of them.
This is great news for me, because I kind of dropped off of it, unfortunately. And I do have, like... I think I stopped after 6 or 7 volumes.
I think I've only got 2, sure. So.
But I would be very happy to buy all 21 volumes and donate the 7 volumes I have. So you're looking forward to that in the fall. They're going to bring over Taiyu Matsumoto's Cats of the Lover. I think that's a 2-volume series that's going to be put into 1.
I call it's reviewer dibs.
I'm sorry, what?
I call reviewer dibs. It's okay, about cats.
I'll send the hardcover to you. I'll do it.
I mean, I'm fine with the digital copy as well.
I'll send you a hardcover. It's fine. That assumes it's going to be in digital, although...
This is true, yeah.
I'm going to assume if they put Urusei Yatsura in digital, they're going to put this in digital too.
Yeah, basically every new release Viz puts out these days has a digital edition as well. I can't remember the last time they did one that didn't.
I feel like there was one.
They've done a couple of digital only, but that's different.
Hmm. What's one biz title? Well, you got the Taco Hill Inoue stuff, but yeah, that's kind of like an older property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right. But yeah, you're pretty right. Like, if Viz licenses it, it's likely going to go digital too. Viz also licensed Tasaku Karasuma's No Guns Life. And they also licensed Levis and Levis S. So they licensed the original Levis. It's going to be, I think it was like 3 volumes. They're going to put it on the one. And they're going to start releasing the sequels, Levis S. It's actually kind of interesting. Like, they... It kind of reminds me of Seven Seas, in a sense, where they licensed both To Love Ru and To Love Ru Darkness. Obviously, different lengths for both, but definitely, I guess it's good that they licensed both and just be like, yeah, we'll have it all out for you. Then, of course, the last one, I think it's been mostly a social media darling, as far as I know.
Yeah, I was excited to see that they've licensed Kosuke Ono's The Way of the House Husband, which is Goku Shufudo in Japanese, and it's basically a retired Yakuza member has become a house husband, and so many of the things he does in daily life are depicted the way you would expect in a Yakuza manga. Like, he's going to a grocery store and he's like, I hear you guys have the white stuff, you know, all fine and nice. And the grocery store worker just walking away and his wife calls out, he means flour! So I'm excited for that one. The clips I've seen of it on Twitter have been hilarious. So I think this is going to be a good one.
Yeah. I'm stunned they got licensed, though.
Nah.
By Viz.
Okay, yeah. Well, it was a published by, so.
But, well, just two reasons why. It's not like this was this is a really recent title. Like,
yeah, it's only 2 volumes.
It's only 2 volumes. So Viz usually doesn't really pick up on stuff like that. They usually like wait.
They've gotten more aggressive recently.
I wouldn't. Well, I mean, they have the money. They could definitely be as aggressive as they possibly can.
They definitely have the money. Justin and I have discovered that you can find their print runs on Edelweiss recently. Yeah, I've been talking about their numbers.
Yeah, I thought you could see it like publicly, but I think you have to actually like media member or sign up to actually see it on Edelweiss. So you can actually, the numbers aren't quite public, but yeah, I was telling Helen, Viz makes money, especially
they are printing My Hero Academia
is a lot of money. and I think I posted like the January 2019 manga list that's based off book scan numbers. The list is dominated by My Hero Academia stuff. Like, mm-hmm. My Academia and Vigilantes. Pretty much all of it's on there. So, yeah, that's making money. But, yeah, Viz can afford to take risks like this. And I don't know if this is going to be a risk, because, like you said, like, this seems like it's going to be a really big hit. Just based on the subject matter and everything like that. Oh, and I guess the other thing I was going to say was the second one is the fact that they licensed this. I feel like for a publisher they don't license from, Shinchosa. Like, it's not something that I feel like they've licensed from before.
Yeah, the name of that publisher isn't familiar to me, actually. I was wondering at first if this might have been one of the publishers I work with a lot, but nope.
Yeah, so I'm curious. Like, I feel like, I guess they're going to be looking to license more stuff out of that magazine or that from that publisher. So I'll be very curious to see what Viz is going to be bringing over moving forward.
And with that, I think that's all the manga licenses from the past week, although Discotech has done a couple of licenses. They licensed the Appleseed OVA, Gakuen Utopia Manabi Straight, and Kyokara Mao TV anime, the first season, I remember I tried a little bit of it back in the day. I do remember that it starts with the boy getting sent to the underworld by being flushed down a toilet, so that's an innovative isekai premise.
I'm about to say, I guess that's another... That was an isekai before we all knew the term. That's a great way to send somebody there, yeah.
Yeah, it was isekai back when isekai were mostly for girls. Because that's a boy's love title.
Wait, really?
Yeah. That is like the main appeal of it, Justin.
Kyokara Ma? I thought that was like... Or maybe I'm getting mixed up with something else. I thought it was like a weekly shonen magazine.
No, I think you're getting mixed up with something else. Yeah, it's boy goes to underworld I think, becomes a demon lord, has many demons, male demons vying for his attention. I'm pretty sure that's the premise.
Alright, yeah, I probably just got mixed up with something else. I'm just laying in
from Ann's description. Is he going to end up as the leader of the land surrounded by his extraordinarily handsome lieges, or will he make it back home?
We shall find out.
Dun dun dun. Well, actually, we won't find out since this is only the first season. There's a couple more seasons.
Oh, never mind. No.
We'll find out later.
I think the Appleseed one's the only one I actually recognize, though, for me personally. And I guess the Lupin stuff, but we already know Discotheque and Lupin's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Be real tight. And with that, Justin, I think we've got a bit of a shorter episode, except, wait, no, we've got a lot of weird news.
A lot of weird news.
All right, who wants to start? Should I start?
We want to flip a coin?
Actually, I think I put down more things than you, so I think I'll start.
All right.
Okay, so you know how we were talking about Cheetahn last time? That really annoying otter mascot that I finally blocked on social media?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Cheetahn is getting an anime. However, the anime has now been delayed from its April 3rd premiere. I don't know if this is related to the lawsuit we covered last time or not, but Cheetahn continues to just be a very weird internet cryptid.
Just letting you know, Cheetahn followed the Yoshi account.
But did they unfollow? Because Cheetahn, during Katsucon, followed me for like the fourth time since they keep fucking unfollowing me, but I just blocked them then.
I will have to find out. I don't feel like finding out immediately, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
Excuse me. Yu-Gi-Oh! Has always been very popular, and this past, I guess past week or something like that, they've involved in a collaboration with Monster Strike. But that's obviously not the main appeal to me. It's the fact that they decided that they wanted to go all out for this one. They hired, they got the director of the Gintama films, and they got a Japanese actor, Kento Kaku, who ended up and decided to air a 15-second TV commercial that's pretty hilarious. It's just a random shopkeeper just saying, it's like he's trying to sell and do his job and everything like that. Then all of a sudden, Yugi shows up, says, "It's time to duel!" And it transforms into Yami Yugi. The end. As they try to advertise Yu-Gi-Oh! Monster Strike collaboration. But the more interesting part is the fact that they had like a 10-minute, like a little aftermath of what happened. Like, Yugi breaks into this poor shopkeeper's house and then tries to explain the game to him, like this collaboration. It's really stupid and it's entirely hilarious. It's first of all, it has Yugi like kind of like how Little Kuribo's Yugi acted, like very rude and just kind of a jerk. So I'm like, oh my god.
This is season zero Yugi.
Actually, you're right. It's probably season zero Yugi. It really is.
When you said that they showed the aftermath, my first thought was that they then showed 10 minutes of him having to, like, clean up the shop after just destroying it in a monster battle.
Oh no, nothing like that. And then, like I said, it was just 15 seconds, so I mean, it's not like it wasn't too super crazy or anything like that. But I can't believe they actually had, like, the aftermath video is over 10 minutes long, Helen. It's over 10 minutes. And then shout out to Frogkun, who found this out. Basically translated a little bit of it. It's basically Yugi ambushing the shopkeeper, showing that Yugi is really committed to being a duelist. When, like, for example, like a shopkeeper asks, "Why did you bring it into my house?" Oh, all right, sorry. Start over. When a shopkeeper asks, why did you break it into my house? Yugi responds, "It's because I'm a true duelist." So what you're saying is true duelists actually go find somebody's house and break into them. Yes.
I don't remember this duelist from Revolutionary Girl Channel.
Then other great lines. At some point, like, the confusion just happens. Like, Yugi's trying to tell the Shakuya to sit down, and Yugi at some point was telling him to sit down, but then he again said it in English. Sit down! Sit down! Sit and down! And then the shopkeeper just slapped Yugi because it's like, come on, I heard you the first time in Japanese. Come on, man. So yeah, this was very hilarious, and it just like, how could I not include something like this in Weird News? How could I not?
I mean, when I saw this one, I knew I had to include in the Weird News. The Little Miss P manga is going to be getting a live-action film, and the title of this might be familiar to people since Yen Press recently licensed the manga. And it's about bodily functions, but it's not about pee, it's about periods. The story is an anthropomorphized version of Aunt Flo, you know, Little Miss P, you know, your period, going around, and from the Yen Press description, follow Little Miss P as she traverses time advising, harassing, abusing, and comforting women on her usually monthly visits, which is a very accurate description of periods, I must say. So, they haven't said yet how they're going to do a live-action version of an anthropomorphization of periods.
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we?
Yeah. The magazine teeth of readers may have questions such as, will the title character be CG, or will this be a zombie action movie? So, I just want to see the trailer. I just want to see how they did that.
And when the trailer actually drops, it will definitely get first coverage on the OSG podcast. It definitely will.
I mean, there are some periods where you feel like you were in a zombie action movie, but that should not be a regular occurrence. Please talk to your doctor if that happens. You might have endometriosis.
Helen, I have some Gintama news. And
I mean, if anyone on this podcast was going to have Gintama news, it would be you.
It is totally, totally shocking and totally unexpected to say that Gintama is not ending.
Wow.
Again.
What?
Again.
Yeah, okay, like I believe it.
I think this is like the 10,000th time we thought it was going to end, and it actually
at least the third
didn't end. Okay, fine. 30th time it said it was going to end, and it didn't end. But no, this time it's going to get moved from Junk Giga into a specific Gintama app. First of all, I'm like, wait, there's a Gintama app. Second of all,
why is this not on Justin's phone already?
Well,
third of all,
if I could understand Japanese, it would have been already. But I just keep wondering, like, what exactly is happening? Because obviously, I'm not reading the manga, so it's like, is this arc just being unnecessarily too long? Like, there's so many ends to be wrapped up. What's going on? What's going on, you stupid gorilla? What's going on? The gorilla, by the way, is Hideki Sorachi. So just in case people don't know. So yeah, I have no idea when this is going to end, Helen. I don't know. I mean, this is going to be great because eventually anime will know when it's going to end so they can finally air the season and then it can finally conclude this journey that started way, way back in like the 2000s, right? I want to say 2007, but that's probably wrong. But
yeah, that's only 10 years ago.
It's
12.
I'm sorry, that just caught me off guard, how wrong you got that.
Like I said, I've been busy lately. I have not been paying attention to time.
But yeah, it'd be nice to finally, like, get the conclusion animated for sure. So hopefully everything gets concluded with this Gintama app, and then it really will end. No, for real, Sorachi, just end this. Do it. Go on and move on and do something else. It's time. It's probably time. Even though we'll all miss the characters, but it's time.
So, Aelita Battle Angel just came out in the U.S., but I don't think either of us have had a chance to see it yet. Nope. So instead, we're going to talk about another American live-action remake of a Japanese film. Some more details came out on the upcoming remake of Makoto Shinkai's Your Name. So, the director attached to it right now is Mark Webb, who did The Amazing Spider-Man and 500 Days of Summer, which I absolutely hated. So, he's going to be directing... there's some other staff members who have been attached to it. But right now, the description of it is, a young Native American woman living in a rural area and a young man from Chicago discover they are magically and intermittently swapping bodies. When a disaster threatens to upend their lives, they must journey to meet and save their worlds. And I was just like, oh my god, you just took this way too literally. Like, okay, we're going to turn the shrine maiden, you know, with a possible magical connection into an actual Native American. And then for the big city, we're going to put a boy in Chicago and just to let y'all know, Chicago actually has a fairly sizable Native American population as well. So if they were trying to portray them as from two fundamentally different worlds, this ain't it. So, yeah, I'm just looking at this and I'm like, nope, this does not sound like a good idea yet, guys. Just does not.
I guess trying to go with the spiritual connection. That's all I got.
Yeah, and it's like, I know the Japanese side is saying that they really want, you know, an Americanized Western take on it, but yeah, I'm not looking forward to this. I am looking forward to seeing Eileen. I'm hoping to see it next weekend.
Just to let you know, Helen, because first of all, I wasn't keeping up with Your Name News until this past article Kristen Lee was writing about Alita. She's writing about Alita, and she brought up Your Name, and she talked about the premise. I was like, wait, what? I clearly have been missing out. When did they announce this? And then the second thing is, like, I was looking through, like, the Anon forums just to be like, all right, come on, there's got to be, like, more information. Like, about this, what's going on, and people, and obviously people were giving their different opinions about it and stuff like that, but there was at least three people that I was saying, like, oh, if Mark Webb is directing 500 Days of, directing this, and he actually does, because he did 500 Days of Summer, it's probably a good thing, because most, Your Name's a Romance, 500 Days was pretty good.
I hated it. It was, I think that's, like, the originator of the Manic Pixie Dream Girl trope. I just hated that movie so much. And I don't remember which movie was the Amazing Spider-Man one, because there have been so many Spider-Man movies in my lifetime.
There's just two. That's so. Remember, just this is solely Amazing Spider-Man. So, yeah, well, if it's not just Spider-Man, it's the Amazing Spider-Man. And yeah, he directed that, and obviously those two were not very good. Whether that's more Sony pandering or Sony influence, I should say, for those, who knows. But I mean, I don't know. I just say good luck with Your Name.
We'll
see what the trailer, whenever, because it feels like it's definitely going to happen. It seems like, so we're going to get it. Let's see how the trailer looks like. If it can have good casting, all that stuff, we'll go from there.
And wrapping up this week's weird news with a little bit of TV-related news. So, Kamen Rider is a very long-running tokusatsu franchise. I think most anime fans have at least heard of it by now. And so, recently, there was a showing in Tokyo of a film from 2003. And after the screening, there was, like, an audience Q&A. And the staff that were there revealed that since this 2003 series, Kamen Rider has added more and more extreme scenes to its series, to the point where they are running out of allowed places to film in Japan.
Oh, no.
Yeah, as Anon reports, numerous restrictions and regulations in Japan can make filming difficult, since you have to obtain permits, you have to get approval from local residents, which can take a while, and filming permissions are routinely denied altogether in Tokyo because the area is too crowded, and locals have been known to refuse permission to their area being filmed even in the middle of the night because the scene would involve a car chase or a violent crime. So I don't know, the fact that Kamen Rider is getting so extreme that they are running out of places they can legally film in Japan feels so funny to me, especially since, you know, it's a tokusatsu show. They film like half those scenes at a quarry anyway, so they can put off explosions. But I guess this is not your grandfather's tokusatsu by this point.
I think the real story is the fact that most series end because maybe, like, low ratings or... You know,
well, I mean, it's a franchise. They do, like, a new iteration every year or so.
If they're running out of places to film, does this mean it could potentially end because they can't film it anywhere?
Nah, I'm sure they would come up with something, but I don't know. The headline made me laugh.
Aw. You made me think, like, oh, you know what? Because they'll be able to potentially film, like, they're running out of places to film. Maybe this means, like, oh, wait, where can we film now? Are we going to film somewhere else? It's not in Japan?
Kamen Rider American Edition.
Wait a minute. What, didn't we have that already?
Power Rangers?
The Power Rangers stuff?
American Edition, the real Kamen Rider. Anyway, that's all I've got, Justin. I'm out of ideas. I'm out of things.
Yeah, I'm out of things too. In fact, I think that's actually all we have for weird news this week, thankfully.
He says thankfully, as if the weird news section is not the best section of the week.
Well, thanks for listening to the OSU podcast. You can find us on Twitter. I'm Kami_Nomi.
You can find me on Twitter at Wandering Dreamer. And you can also find me on the other podcast I co-host, Manga in Your Ears. You can find the handle for that one at Manga in Your Ears on Twitter. And hopefully our new website will be running soon. It's just the hosting service sort of died on us, and putting together websites is hard, so it's been taking us a while.
Yeah. Websites are not easy. You can subscribe to the OSU podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, get us on your Android, or you can add us to your feed leads or via RSS, or email. Subscribe by email, and you can get our opinions on stuff and licensing stuff and all that other good stuff.
All right, then. Until next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.